Hello and welcome to episode 4 of With This Book We Can. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Lynette.
And we are teacher librarians passionate about literature and how to bring stories to life in the classroom.
Before we begin today, we'd like to acknowledge the First Peoples of Australia as the first storytellers. Your stories and experiences are the heart of this country. In particular, we acknowledge the Awabakal people, the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording today. And our book today is called Looking After Country with Fire, written by Victor Stephenson and illustrated by Sandra Stephenson. And the words on the back of the book speak to the heart of what the story's about. Mother Nature has a language. If we listen and read the signs in the land, we can understand what she is telling us. For thousands of years, Aboriginal people have managed the land by burning country. The trees and grass tell us the right places to burn, and they also tell us when it's the best time to burn. Join Uncle Q as he shows us how to listen to the land so that we can look after the plants and animals and learn how to live with fire. This is a powerful and timely story about Aboriginal burning knowledge, one that offers a respectful way forward for future generations to understand different ways to manage our landscapes. Now, Kerry, I know you hadn't seen this book, but I have used it with Stage 3 for geography. It's a beautiful story, and I like the word on the back that says timely. What did you think of the story?
Absolutely. It couldn't be more timely. I mean, with climate change and all of the fires from 2020, it's a very timely book and one that I think has been very well written, and it's been written in a very broad sense so that it can be used in all different parts of the country. So it's not just focused on Awabakal, or it's not just focused on Noongar country or something like that. You can use it in all of the schools anywhere in Australia and still then try and connect with the First Nations people that are within your area.
It's a good conversation starter.
It is, yeah, it's a great conversation starter. And it's a good community book for me as well. And in terms of the language, I really love the fact that they highlighted certain words from different pages. So we had fire and gentle and cool and grow and slow and escape, and there was hurt, there was land, there was friends, there was elders. If you're using the story in the classroom, you can also connect through language. So there are many different Indigenous languages around, and I think it's very important for us as teachers to make sure that our students can connect with the language as well as with the people and the culture. So it would be really interesting to find out what the Awabakal people use for those particular words and whether they actually manage the land in a slightly different way.
And I think that opens up the opportunity for skillful communication, which is one of the 21st century learning dimensions, because we could reach out via email or phone calls or visits to our local, or for us, our Awabakal committees.
And I really loved, there was a key message in there. We were talking about this earlier on, and you said Aboriginal knowledge is key. And one of the sentences in there was that we learn when we listen to the voices of traditional knowledge holders. And I think that's one of the things that I really love about all of the Indigenous literature that's come out. Because I don't know about you, but when I was going through school, we had hardly anything. And talking about their culture and their life and just bringing their experiences.
Oh, the choice of literature now. We started creating a section within our library so they could be easy to access. And that's just grown. And the choices when we go to buy books, it's incredible really what's there.
And they've become mainstream, which is what they always should have been.
They should have been, that's right.
But I think now it's just such a, as I said, a joy and a pleasure to walk into a bookshop or walk into a school library and see so many Indigenous writers that are there and that the children are absolutely loving. And it's really important for children to be able to see themselves in literature. And for so many years that wasn't possible with our First Nations people. And as I said, now we have so much choice, and hopefully they will continue to write.
And I think what's great about Looking After Country with Fire is it taps so well into our curriculum.
Yep.
So for Stage 3, Geography, and the outcomes GE3-3 for a New South Wales listener, where we compare and contrast influences on the management of places, this fits perfectly. And We are looking at, from that perspective, fire management, which is the prevention, the preparation, response and recovery. And we really could bring this in with Aboriginal knowledge is key for that prevention level.
And it would be interesting to see what our fire prevention plans are and how they match up, or whether they do match up with the Indigenous fire plans for the area.
And the question I posed to Stage 3 was, whose management plan should we follow?
Yeah, that's a good one.
So there's a lot of thinking about, you know, there's merit in probably some of the things we do, but if we get it right at the prevention level, then that response and recovery hopefully is less than it has been over the last few years.
Absolutely. I mean, these guys have got 40,000 years of managing the land, so it's about time we listen to them, I think.
Definitely. And when I looked at the information fluency framework, and I apologise that it is another New South Wales document, but that's where we live, there's a literate outcome there. It is navigate, read and view a range of texts for information purposes. That leads us into all those information skills of note-taking, synthesising. So we really could be going off and looking at all the different options for fire management.
Absolutely. It lends itself to some great research. You can look at previous fires in Australia, and you can go back and look at how climate change has affected more and more of our country in devastating ways. They're such catastrophic things that are happening now. So I think that it's a book that lends itself to so many different things. You could dive into the Aboriginal culture, you could dive into climate change, you can dive into bushfire prevention.
There's a lot of people with opinions on how we should manage land. So there are some farmers out there who know how to manage land, possibly through a past connection with Indigenous peoples. And we need to tap into that as well. So it's all about voice and listening to opinions, but then going back and saying, if that's their opinion, where's the fact within that?
Exactly.
Is there a fact that's underlying it? So it's a great text for looking at fact and opinion. And we did move it up into the creative element within our fluency framework, where they had to identify and clarify relevant information and opinions and prioritise ideas. And what we did, we asked the children to create a background in Paint 3D that represented fire, whether it was a cool burning fire or whether it was a raging enemy type fire that's spoken about in the book. They then took a photo of themselves in as if they were shouting, and we photoshopped that onto the background of the fire graphic, and they pulled out either key words from the text, some of the words you spoke about earlier, or phrases, or they could actually interpret it and put it in their own language. And they were shouting out the key messages from the book, so we called it Shouting Out. That was what the activity was called. And the results were beautiful, and I'll put it on my blog and we'll share it, because it was a nice way to see what the children took from the story.
Mm. And I think you can incorporate technology quite easily with books like this. You could do a book trailer on it, of course, or you could do an infographic using Canva or something like that. You could have them reflect on Flipgrid and share those with each other. So there's lots of ways that you can incorporate the technology into it as well.
Even some interviewing, because even as we're talking.
Absolutely, yeah, great idea.
I said, it's really in the heart of prevention. I wonder, though, with preparation, did our Indigenous people prepare the land at all for fire? I haven't read that, but I wonder what their recovery or response was. Did that factor into any of their daily life? Or did they manage it so well at the prevention level they weren't of concern for them?
Yeah, that would be a really good thing to interview one of our elders about and just see how they go about it. Is it incorporated into everyday life? They must have wildfires, and so, you know, with lightning strikes, and if they've got a few years of drought and that sort of thing. I mean, drought and flood are not unusual, but it's just the frequency of them lately with climate change that's making them so catastrophic, I think, or more catastrophic. But it would be great. An interview is a really great idea. Go and interview the elders in the community and see what they think about it all.
And we should be able to say this and own it, that when you read a book like this, you start to feel your own ignorance in this area.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even talking now, going, well, I don't know, do they do this? And I think if we can be open and honest with the children and say, let's find the answers to these questions. So it's a beautiful book, really worth looking at for stage three. Younger children would enjoy listening to it, and I know they would enjoy the artwork within it. But to pull out the curriculum side of it, definitely year five, year six.
I think in terms of the artwork for it too, I think that would be more for the younger kids, and that would be a great way to incorporate some, looking at some Aboriginal art, some Indigenous art, to see, to pull that in and maybe bring out the words of fire and gentle and cool and grow, and have all the students do their own realisation of those words, looking at the way Indigenous painters paint.
I'll upload to mrsbarkerstearoom.com the unit of work for this book and some examples from the students.
And I'll upload some resources that I've used over the years, some Indigenous resources, to thebooktree.co, so you can take a look there as well.
Thanks, Kerry.
Thanks for listening.